Blog Talk Radio.
www.theclowntimes.net, and you can also find me on Facebook where I'm talking shit, swallowing spit, and entertaining my followers and likees, I guess. Again, it's Clown Spell with K, but you can just type, just do a search in Facebook for the Clown Times, and you'll be able to find me there too. As I said before, we have the NFL Draft, and we also had the phenomena during the NFL Draft. No, not Johnny Football, but Michael Sam. Lots of questions around this, Cat. First of all, did Michael Sam have to wait to the seventh round because of sexuality? Did that have anything to do with it? And what's going on with Dude's upcoming reality series through OWN, Oprah Winfrey's channel? But anyway, a buddy of mine, said your call, and I will converse about this over Facebook, and you know, he had his thoughts and had mine, so I wanted to get him on here so we could talk about it. So without further ado, here's my favorite 49ers / Alabama Crimson Tide fan, said your call. What's up, man? How you doing, brother?
What's happening, man?
Dude, you tell me, man. You tell me, brother.
Hey, I hate earlier in the week, man.
Oh, no worries. Hey, you know what? Dallas was still fun, even though it rained a little bit. But, you know, Chris and I were clowning out y'all a little bit about that little rain. But that's water underneath the bridge, no pun intended. but anyway, man, I want to get you on here.
When the Transformer blew, man, I'm like, no, I think I'm going to take it on in.
Okay. You're like, hell no. So there you go. Exactly. So, hey, man, I want to get you on here to talk about Michael Sam. I mean, there's a lot of things around this cat. You know, whether it's from where he fell in the draft to what's going on with his reality show, what's this dude's real agenda, things of that nature. But before I let you get to your thoughts, I just share with you why I was been thinking about him, you know, in terms of what I think he's in it for. First of all, just going back to the draft for a minute, and you can start there as well. But basically, I was of the original thought that, you know, I thought that Michael Sam fell to the seventh round because of sexuality. I thought that a lot of GMs and, you know, and other front office types around the league were scared of the potential distraction, you know what I'm saying, that he may bring to the locker room, like, willingly or not, as well as the fact that, you know that they just didn't want to take on such a task, if you will. I mean, because I figured that, you know, I mean, Michael Sam was only the called Defensive Player of the Year, along with your boy from Alabama, from the
SEC.
I'm
going to give you my two cents on this, okay? Because I'm looking at it a little differently.
Okay.
You know, I think, you know, your stance is that, you know, he was a, you know, co-defensive player of the year in SEC, and, you know, he fell to the seventh round because of sexuality. Now, honestly, I looked at a lot of pre-draft commentary, well, not necessarily commentaries, but just pre-draft reports and, you know, as far as his draft grades go. He was deemed a seventh-round pick or a priority free agent. That's how he graded. So in my opinion,
who graded that? Okay.
So this was NFL. This the one that I saw was NFL.com. They had him like a five point one or something like that. Now,
gotcha.
Bama had a few players that were graded higher than him that didn't get drafted. You know, yes, he was cold. Defensive player, and I think one of the draft profiles said he was a tweener. You know, this guy's like 6'2", 260, not really, you know, he played defensive, defensive end, I think, defensive tackle, something like that. He played D-line, so
he's
really not a guy that, you know, when you think of a prototypical NFL defensive line, he just doesn't have the size.
Right.
You know, even in a I read one report that basically said, you know, he probably would fit more in a 3-4 type defense, you know, being a outside linebacker or whatever. Well, St. Louis they're not a 3-4 team, they're 4-3 team. So so just in looking at that, the draft grades. Didn't grade to be a seventh round, you know, like I said, seventh round to prior to free agent. We had a guy, Alabama had a guy, Adrian Hubbard. I mean, combine numbers were just out of this world. Drafted or graded higher than Sam did.
Right.
Didn't get drafted.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So first, like I said, my viewpoint is my opinion is that he just didn't have a draft grade. The draft grade to warrant a higher pick. Hubbard didn't get drafted, and he was projected to go the third or fourth round.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't think it was a – you want to know my honest opinion?
Uh-oh.
You know, I really think Goodell and the St. Louis Rams did this one for show. To be honest with you.
Wow.
Because even no one was talking about this guy at all on the second, the beginning of the third day of the draft on Saturday. No one was really talking about him.
Damn.
I got another one for you, Scott. Okay, yeah, I understand he was a co-defensive player of the year. Charlie Ward wasn't the Heisman playing football, right?
That's right.
Did he get drafted?
No, he didn't.
was he drafted by an NFL team?
No, he started in the NBA instead,
Okay, all right. How many years did he spend with the Knicks? About 10, right?
Yeah, he played 10 years with my Knicks and retired the Knicks.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
All right. I just wanted to make sure. I thought that's what, I thought that's how it went down.
Well, you know, I'll add this to it. I mean, as far as the Charlie Ward argument, we could also throw in, what's his name, that cat from Nebraska, won the Heisman and didn't even phase out the NFL at all, I forget his name. Heisman Trophy winner from Nebraska, and also Tommy Frazier as well. You know, a lot of guys.
You know, don't use the argument that he's co-defensive player of the year. But man, I can hand you Heisman Trophy winners that didn't get drafted.
Right. Yeah, and you have a good point. I just say this. I mean, granted, you know, and I'm not going to call you the Black Oliver Stone or anything like that. I just add this to it. Like, there are some people who will go along with that argument, who actually will corroborate what you just said, because the owner of the Rams, Stan Kroenke, he's a Missouri grad, okay?
Yeah.
And St. Louis is only maybe, I think only a three-hour drive. I think 160 miles. I guess a three-hour drive from Columbia.
I mean, Missouri, University of Missouri, that's the flagship program in the state of Missouri. So, you know.
Well, I guess
what I'm trying to say is I don't think he was that great of a player to, you know, in the first place. And honestly, I thought my thoughts on this was, you know, that, you know, when I started, initially I was like, okay, well, you know, he did this to, you know, for publicity. Maybe, you know, he's going to, you know, he's doing it to, you know, think it's going to help his draft situation or whatever. But, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I'll say this.
If I was one of his advisors, I wouldn't have advised him to come out like that before the draft.
Right. I was going to say the reason why I thought that he did at first was because, you know, there have been reports that he's been, you know, been kind of out. Well, not more than kind of. He's been out on campus, right? Because there were reports of him at one Missouri game. He wore like a gay pride wristband. Okay, so he was like on at least there. He came out to his teammates a long time ago, obviously. But, you know, the thing is that I think that he believed that since he did not do a good job of hiding it right on campus, even after he came out and during the Senior Bowl, right, that he was afraid that it was going to come out. So I guess it was to control the message. That's what I heard. I don't know that for sure.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
That makes sense. You know, that does make sense. You know, that argument. Like I said, you know, and I mean, I'm not downing. You know, hey, that's his choice. You know, I'm not gonna, you know, judge a brother or nothing like that. Only thing I'm saying is, I thought as far as him being drafted, you know, because to me there would have been a more outcry had he not been drafted.
Right,
and I don't
exactly.
think the NBA, the NFL wanted that black guy, that microscope on them. So I think they worked, you know, Goodell worked a deal with the, you know, with the St. Louis, with St. Louis. Now, what's going to happen if he doesn't make the team? That's going to be the question. Now, is he being kind of, you know, Oprah with the reality show? You know, yeah, she don't cash in.
Yeah,
we'll get to that in a minute. But what I'm saying is, you know, I have a hard time believing he's gonna make it, to be honest with you. Now, I could be wrong, but that's just my, you know, my gut feeling. Now, you know, a lot of people, I think, were turned off by the display on TV when they had the camera on him and his friend.
Yeah, even that was like kind of okay.
Yeah, that turned a lot of people off, you know. You know, and you know,
yeah.
My thing was, you know, yeah. you know, and I'll go back, and I'm gonna bring up Tim Tebow for a minute. But you know, I, as far as a player playing for the University of Florida, I really didn't care for Tim Tebow.
Right.
Just because you know the first, you know, at 08, you know, they got us in the you know, ACC championship game, you know, so. You know, the next year, you know, we got to get Florida and Tebow, you know. That was just because, you know, that of them being a rival of ours at Alabama.
Right, right.
However, you know, as a person, as, you know, someone that, you know, that's a Christian, I can respect his stance on, you know, on his, you know, standing up for what he believes in.
Right.
You know, I respect him for that. You know, the issue I see, and this is just, society as it is like, you know, people, you know, it's when Tebow stands up for what he believes in, you know, everybody want to talk about him and this and that, but then this dude does this, and it's, you know, he's so courageous.
That's really good. That's like a double standard almost.
Yeah, it's like a double standard. It's like, okay, you're a Christian and you stand up for what you believe in, you ridicule, you attack. But if you, you know, you homosexual, you come out, then, you know, oh, the world on your side. Because you're courageous.
And, you know, and it was funny you say that, because Stephen A. Smith, they were on First Take, like, early in the week. It's like, I think it was Monday, right?
I missed it this week, but I'm sure he had a lot of...
Oh, yeah, he did. He touched upon what you said, like in the sense of what you said. He basically said that, okay, that, you know, he's a social liberal, right? But the thing is that Stephen A. had a problem with members of the gay community eviscerating people who did not exactly agree with Michael Sam's PDA, you know, public display of affection, you know, when he got the call that he was drafted. It's like, okay, you guys preach tolerance and acceptance. Why can't you accept people who not necessarily hate gays, but just disagree with the public display of affection, for example, you know, with certain things that may not jive with their own belief system? I mean, it's a two-way street is what he was getting at. I think this is starting to come to a head, especially with his young brother getting drafted. And, you know, and to your point, whatever doesn't make the team, I think he has an uphill climb just being a seventh-round draft pick and B, on a team where they're so deep on the defensive line. I mean, Aaron Donald. You know what I mean?
How hard is it for a seventh-round pick to make the team? It's hard.
And now they got Chris Malone and I think Rob Smith, I forget the other defensive end's name for the Rams, but they have a beast of a defensive line. And they drafted Aaron Donald again. They drafted Aaron Donald in the first round. Where is this dude going to fit? I mean, if it ain't special teams, I don't see where. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that people who are not in the know, who do not understand football and personnel, X and O's, they don't understand that, right? So the first thing they're going to say is because he's gay.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. When these GMs sign these guys, when they sign, they know these are the guys that, unless they come to camp and just completely just bomb, these guys are going to make the roster.
Right.
You know?
Right.
We all know, you know, we all know when the Ravens drafted Mosley, when the Packers drafted, those guys not going to have to fight for a roster spot. They working on, you know, okay, are they going to start the first game of the season? That's what their mind is. You know, so
that's a great name, by the way. Ha-ha, Clinton Dix. I mean, that's like a bad Monica Lewinsky joke just ready to come out. But go ahead. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist.
These GMs know going to camp, look, we got five spots for however many late-round picks and free agents they sign. But you got to sign guys to get through camp with, you know. He does have an uphill battle. I do believe that he does have an uphill battle. I don't know, what I don't want to see is, you know, he doesn't make the team and now it's a different, now the argument is, oh, he didn't make the team. You know, he didn't make. He's gay, so he came out. So he's not gonna make the team, and that's the reason why. Whatever. So, you know, I think he's probably trying to line his pockets with own because he might not. You know, he might not make the team. Obviously, that's awesome.
Well, speaking of own, and this is a great segue. I'm pulling for the brother to do it. I pull for a lot of these guys to do. I mean, because it's their dreams, you know what I'm saying? a dream of.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. You've been playing it all your life, work. Man. You know, I'm not. I don't want to come down on the brother like, oh man, you know, you ain't gonna make it. You know, you this, you that. You know, no, I don't want to come. You know, come down on the brother like that. Now, you know, if you'd have called me about 15, 20 years ago, now I probably would have had some different words. You know, than I have today.
I think
but,
I would too.
You know, but what you know, I'm, you know, that's just. I mean, you know, we're different now than we were. You know, when we was, you know, in our early 20s, you know?
Right, exactly. Well, the society was, too. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, society was different, too, you know. Then, you know, you just, you know, you would come straight off the cuff, you know. You know, you might walk down the street and see somebody, you know, you go say something to them.
Right.
You know?
Right,
that's
just, yeah.
I mean, that's how things were then, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, I think now we're not, you know, we accept the behavior, whatever. We may not agree with it or condone it, but we're not going, you know, we're just not going to just unnecessarily attack someone because, you know, of their sexual preference. That's just, you know.
Yeah, that's just me too. I mean, and the thing is that, you know, I just think we're going, you know, with Oprah, bringing Oprah's camera, the OWN cameras in. You know, I know that some publicists from, I think, guess it was from OWN, said that there weren't going to be any cameras around the facilities. But still, I mean, the fact of the matter is, I mean, let's go back to the whole draft day announcement, okay? Let's just go back there, which I'm pretty sure where the seeds were being planted for this whole idea in the first place. I'm led to believe, just thinking about it now, that the whole thing was staged. Like the, not the tears. I think the tears are genuine, but the you know, the kiss. And I don't know if you saw this, but they smashed cake in each other's faces and celebrating.
I missed that part. You know.
Yeah, that's a full video somewhere on the line. I mean, I just know they get too far like that.
You know, when they get too far to the left like that, you know, I turn the channel, man. I'm like, I don't want to watch that.
I mean, yeah, you know. About it. I just think that it's like everything was staged. I mean, why would you stage something like that? I mean, he's already got a bullseye on his back, so to speak, right? He's making history. I mean, he already has all this pressure. And I'm going to think that maybe the pressure is coming from his agents, his publicists, and maybe the LGBT community to say, make a big stand on this. You got a chance to make a big stand for us. I don't know if he is solely all in on this. I don't think, you know, I want to believe when he says that he just, quote, wants to be a football player. And part of me wants to believe that, and part of me thinks that's actually true. But I think with all these competing interests outside of it, he just needs to shut all that shit up, right, and just focus on making the team as a seventh-round pick
first, on the team that's loaded on the defensive line. Yeah. I mean, that's tough. You know how many times, you know, that's tough. Seventh-round pick, man, when you pick a guy in the seventh round, a lot of times, you know, that's not a guy that you know, it's hard. It's hard for a guy at a seventh round pick to make the roster. It's just
right.
And I don't want people to,
I'm sure you agree with me on this. I don't want people to just assume that the Rams are in the event that this young brother doesn't make the team, is a homophobic organization ran by a homophobic coach. Who, first of all, as far as falling to a great situation, Jeff Fisher is one of the perfect coaches to have for Michael Sam, because Jeff Fisher is no bullshit kind of guy. You know, he's one of the most respected coaches in the NFL, people in the NFL.
Yeah.
What he says in his locker room goes. I don't see any of those cats mess with him with Jeff Fisher in charge. So, Brother Sam is having an excuse. That's what I'm trying to get out.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, I do look at it as a publicity thing, too, you know, even on the part of the Rams, because they're trying to sell seats, you know.
That's true, and it's true.
I mean, you know, so if a gay player comes out, okay, openly gay, you know, if you think about a team that, you know, based on the culture of their city, that would draft this player, it wouldn't, St. Louis wouldn't be the first team that would come to mind.
Right.
You know, of course, you know, we don't have a problem selling. We don't, you know, my boys don't have a problem selling seats, you know.
Right.
So, you would think, I mean, so you know, San Fran would be a destination for a player that was, you know. Yeah, but, you know, that's
the same thing.
That's not the case. That's not the case. You know, it's hey, St. Louis, they need to sell seats as well. So, I like I say, you know, I've come from the standpoint of, you know, when my argument is, you know, I don't think that, you know, as far as grades go, I mean, there's a lot of guys that graded higher than he is, especially SEC guys that graded higher than he did that didn't get drafted.
Right.
That's just bottom line. But, I mean, you know, it happens. You know, I mean, it happens every year. Guys get graded, and for whatever reason, they slip down the board. You know, to be honest with you, Scott, had the Rams not drafted him, I don't think he was going to get drafted.
You know, that's the truth to that, because he was – how many players were chosen to have him? 247 players, something like that. And he was damn near the end. He was near the end of the non-compensatory picks in the seventh round. So if you think about
wasn't it a non-compensatory pick?
Yeah, it was a non-compensatory pick. It was the second from the last two or three non-compensatory picks in the seventh round. I think. But he was damn near close to the end, let's put it that way.
I mean, he wasn't far from being, let's say, irrelevant, which
probably
would have been more of a media circus.
Oh, tell me about it. Could you imagine?
I mean, think about it. If they would have picked him Mr. Irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we had a guy in Alabama that was defensive back that was Mr. Irrelevant. I mean, he made the roster. You know, he was a defensive back, you know, played a few seasons or whatever. But, man, that's hard. It's hard to make the team as a seventh rounder.
And like I alluded to earlier, when you're talking about St. Louis needing to sell a season, all that good stuff, this jersey is the second biggest seller right now, right behind Johnny Football, if you can believe
behind
that.
Behind Johnny
Manziel. If you can believe that, right. There you go. There you go. So, I mean, again, I'm a Metro-born cynic, and I think you are too. When it comes to stuff like this, I want to believe that this brother's trying to damn this to, I mean, I think making history should be the furthest thing from his mind. Now I think it's the top priority. I think the top priority is and should be making the team as a seventh round draft pick. But I just think I don't think he should have a reality show there. I don't think that they should have Oprah's cameras hovering around the facility, because you know. Even though the team is said to have a great locker room, atmosphere in St. Louis, I think they're going to get tired of shit sooner rather than later.
Yeah,
I mean, having
to
answer questions for this cat, and it'd be uncomfortable for him, you know, because
you know, and,
here he is trying to fit in, and now all this shit's going on. So, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, and I just wondered, I think I texted this to you the other day when I saw the alert that came at ESPN basically saying, you know, St. Louis made him available to the media. I don't know of any seventh-round draft picks that they make available to speak to the media after the draft.
Good point. Great point. I thought that was crazy. As soon as I saw that press conference, I was like, and ESPN showed it live, by the way. I was like,
yeah.
So it begins. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. Again, I'm happy for him, but it's crazy that. It's almost like a reverse Cuba mania all over again. It's like a seventh-round draft pick has a press conference with his coach, with his GM, flanking both sides of him, helping him ask the question or deflecting questions or what have you. So it's going to be a real interesting mini camp. It's going to be a very interesting training camp and preseason. So we'll see, brother. We'll see. But, you know, once again, the NFC West, again, is one hell of an interesting show, and I'm sure we're going to talk about it later in the summer.
Look, man, I'm sitting there looking at the draft, and I mean, San Fran and Seattle just pretty much just, it kind of reminded me of Alabama when National Signing Day rolls around. I mean, they just add to the roster, you know.
Right.
They picking guys that, you know, I was looking at watching the draft, and I'm like, you know, the center they picked up from USC, this guy could have been a first rounder.
Yeah.
You know, dropped to the third round. So they got guys in the third and fourth rounds that were, like, projected to be first and second round picks. You know, and just you know, they feeling needs where, you know, it's like, oh, we need this, we need, you know. I was reading the Seattle GM talking about, you know, because they drafted Kevin Norwood from Alabama, who turned the ball. You know, when they were down in Baton Rouge to LSU, 2012 season? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the year we played Notre Dame in championship game,
mm-hmm.
we needed the touchdown to win the game. I mean, they went to Norwood like four or five times in a row. You know, then they threw the screen pass to the other side to get the touchdown.
Right.
But
I remember that.
I mean,
that
boy balled. The LSU championship game just made Honey Badger look sick.
Yep.
I mean, up all over the top of him. I mean, just so. I mean, they. I mean, he's the go-to guy when they need it. So. Basically, Jim was basically saying, you know, they had already drafted a receiver. They had no intentions of drafting another receiver. He said, but when they got to that pick and he was still on the board, he's like, they had no choice but to draft him.
Right. Right.
But to draft him. So when you see stuff, when you see Seattle, you see San Francisco just doing stuff like that, you're like, man, this NFC West is
it's a beast, man. It's a damn beast. I mean, you got your boy, San Fran, of course. You got Seattle, defending Super Bowl champs. Hell, I mean, like I told you last year, man, well, earlier this year, I should say, the winner of that San Fran-Seattle championship game would have beaten the hell out of Denver in the Super Bowl. That was the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh,
game
definitely.
Was the Super Bowl.
Definitely.
No mistake
about
that.
That was the Super Bowl.
And he got the Cardinals who won 10 games and then made the playoffs. You know,
yeah.
They won 10 games in that division. And then he had St. Louis to finish, I think, 8-8, 7-9 or 8-8, and they're bound to get better this year. That's a sick division. That's going to be an even sicker division this year. I'm looking forward to it. I know you're looking forward to it. So, I mean, crazy. So that's why we
love
the NFL.
That's like the SEC. I mean, the NFC West, like the SEC West, you know, where, you know, Alabama, LSU, you know, A&M, Auburn,
yes,
you know.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I get one of them got it. I didn't want to see it, but it did. But, you know, it's tough, man. NFC West is going to be tough.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the last one I love about it. But, hey, I'll tell you what. Let me make a quick deal with you. I'm going to check back in with you in the middle of training camp, and we're going to talk about this shit some more and about, of course, the Niners in their training camp to see how things are going.
Okay,
and
we'll do that.
Yeah, so we got to keep this conversation going because I don't want to keep you all night. But I do appreciate you coming out and talking to me about this, man. It's very good conversation, and it could be an uncomfortable conversation, but it's a real one. We'll just see what happens with him.
Okay, we'll check back in later this summer. How, you know, when training camp is in full gear, you know, I think it's about 70 days to training camp. So, we got another couple of months. But, yeah, we'll definitely do that.
All right. Take care, Stan.
All right, yeah, you too, man. It was good talking to you.
You too. Peace out.
Peace.
All right, that was my man, Cedric Hall. Talking about Michael Sam's impact, well, not impact per se, but, you know, surrounding this whole phenomenon, you know, it's like, was he drafted because gay, as Cedric alleged, and many other people alleged that too, being slipped because he was gay, and with the whole thing with the kiss and the smash the cake on the face thing stage and to set the stage for his upcoming reality show on OWN, and the potential distractions with that. I mean, like I was saying before, it said, alluded to the same thing, that I just think that this brother should concentrate on making the team. You know, I really think that as a 7th-round pick, the odds are so much against him. And it doesn't help that he's coming to a team where they're so deep on the defensive line. Again, it's a team featuring Chris Long. I think, I think his name is Rob Smith. I got to look it up. But both racking up sacks in the big way, and both defensive tackles were studs. Now he's drafted Aaron Donald with the first pick, and now you're going to ask Michael Stan to try to attack the squad that's that deep on the defensive line and has a better linebacking core. If it ain't special teams, then these special teams are busting this guy. I think you should concentrate on that more instead of having a damn reality show follow him around trying to make a bigger point, be about the dollars. I mean, again, this is a decision Michael Sam has to make. Is he going to be the football player, put his head down and make a difference that way, or is he going to be all about the tabloids, the publicity, dollars, with the show, a celebrity? Who knows? Anyway, so many questions, so little time. But thanks a lot for tuning in. Scott Burke, bringing the clown on. Take care. Peace out. 06. Thanks.